The Around the NFL Podcast has completely fixed their mechanics.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, team?
Hey, hey, hey.
Okay. Liked it?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Cool.
A little bit of a Wink Martindale feel to that intro today.
I could do that job.
Did you guys see Money's mustache, by the way?
I have seen a tweet. I didn't know if it was for something he was shooting or what.
I think he said, I saw him at Chargers training camp, and he was saying something about the fact that guys grow playoff beards. Why can't he grow a preseason mustache? So, yeah,
like
he was
that.
Rocking the stash.
I thought it looked good. It does follow the trend. People are always coming up with reasons to grow mustaches
right.
or beards or whatever. Like, they need something.
That's a thing.
Just own it.
Do
like,
it.
It's like, you want to grow a mustache? That's fine. It's 2017.
It is actually – that is funny you bring it. And Money, if you're not aware, he handles those intros so well for our podcast at no cost to us. And certainly no income to him. But I think Money's doing okay. I think men in general
– That's his name.
When if you're shaving a beard or you're in a situation where you decide to grow out a mustache – it looks a lot better when you're in your bathroom by yourself looking in the mirror and you're kind of sold on it and you know the stigma attached to the mustache.
You have experience with this.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do. And then you walk outside the bathroom and then you just hope it doesn't get ridiculed. But almost every time, especially women, they'll say it and be like, no.
You just got to own that thing.
You got to – I mean, you've had a mustache before, right, Sully?
I have worn one for the most part for the last 4 years on and off. So, yeah.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah,
terrible time for facial hair in general, where the idea of a beard in general has become this like artistic thing where there's like deep websites about beard grooming and beard culture,
beard oil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
are you heading into a rant against the millennials here?
No, no. I mean, actually this has been around from early 2000s. This is pre-millennial. It's not a millennial shot. I just think the idea of like, let's not over celebrate a beard. Having a beard means that you've done nothing. You didn't shave. You did nothing. Hair just grew on your face.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I mean, you're getting fired up about it. It's, you know.
I'm just saying.
A beard can look good on the right person.
It does. And it does.
Yeah. Anyway.
Way off track.
Way off track. Because we got a lot to talk about today. Because, yes, the Ezekiel Elliott news came down about his suspension. And that is, there's going to be a huge fallout there. We're going to talk about that in the news. We also have a lot of preseason football to get to. Week one of the preseason has started, and we're going to break down what happened on Thursday and then a bunch of games on Friday. And then, of course, I got a big announcement. Big announcement.
Whoa.
Big announcement. That's coming up at the end of the show. That's a classic tease. In the old days of television, you could tease something for the end of an episode, and the people, they just sit there like the yokels and just wait for it and sit through commercials and all the other stuff. Now people can skip to the end of the
taller
episode.
Taller task.
Right.
No.
You can do it, but don't, because I think we got a good show. Right, Greg?
It would seem strange to skip past the Ezekiel Elliott news. We've got a big phone call coming up.
Yep.
There was a three-team trade that was one of the most interesting trades in recent history. It would be weird to skip ahead.
Counterpoint, you could skip ahead, get the news if you really want it, then come back and listen to the rest. Just don't do it.
Very flexible. I mean, you could even skip ahead and skip the rest of the show and go read about it elsewhere. You have a lot of options in today's media
landscape. Double time, you could listen on double time speed. I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get that.
I don't like
people. We've had other people show us.
Well, I like 1.5 speed sometimes.
That's crazy.
If I just need the
information. Does it make you sound like a chipmunk?
And it's not a lot, like if it's not just a, I'm hanging out, I want to listen to this and really like take it in. If I just need information quick, fast, I go 1.5.
Who sounds the weirdest on 1.5 speed from
what about
Greg?
Yeah.
They go from like annoying to unlistenable.
Yeah, it's like how if you heard like a filmmaker getting annoyed when someone says, "Oh, I watched your movie on my laptop." That's how I feel when I hear people say, "Oh, yeah, I watch it at 2.5 times the speed." Like, no, as the artiste wanted it to be.
You were really taken back by that when I told you. You were like, "Well, do the jokes? Does the timing still work?" Yes, everything still works.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
It doesn't sit well with me.
All right. Before we get to anything, we got to check behind the glass with Sully. What's up, buddy boy?
What's up, guys? Last show on the mic.
This is it.
Man.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm sure you're crushed. But.
Crushed. No, what? it's been a fun summer outside of the
production of this show.
Random. No.
It's been a fun summer outside of all my involvement with your show.
No. Outside of the 15 minute before the show request from Dan and the random snarky comments from Greg, it's been a great summer.
Sully style taking shots on his way out.
All right. Well, who's gonna take the mic?
Erica is taking over the mic. Woo. She has been here for a little bit over a week, and she's awesome. She's gonna do great for you guys. Big fan already.
All right.
Well, stoked for you guys.
All right, Sully. So long, forever until. You know, the next time we are in a disaster mode with our production team, which could happen in about 8 to 12 months. So
yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
And welcome, Erica. No pressure. Don't worry about it. It's going to be smooth sailing.
Let's do some news.
It's football time.
All right, Sully going out on top. With a great drop. All right, we'll start with a huge story coming out of Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Cowboys, suspended 6 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. The ruling comes after a marathon investigation by the NFL, which got on a lot of people's radar, led to a lot of issues in terms of criticism for the league about how long it was taking. It was a year-long investigation, in fact, into domestic violence accusations made against him by a woman named Tiffany Thompson, who had identified herself as a former girlfriend. Elliott had denied and always has denied the allegations. He's 22 years old, but the league handed down the ruling, 6 games. He's already appealed it, as you would expect, Elliott. But this goes back to, Greg, the allegations with Tiffany Thompson, but also the incident that happened on St. Patrick's Day with the woman that Elliott groped and was caught on video. So the NFL sends a pretty big statement by taking him out of action, 6 games. I think that was surprising, the length of the suspension, wasn't it, Greg?
It was, and yet maybe it shouldn't have been, because the domestic violence policy, which was enacted with so much attention on it, is pretty cut and dry and sets up very specific numbers for how long a player is going to be suspended upon their first infraction, 6 games. I mean, we've seen this before. And for whatever reason, I think primarily because it wasn't a case that got Zeke in trouble legally, you know, through the court system, people just assumed that there wasn't going to be that much follow-up here, that it wasn't that big of a deal. And the NFL very clearly and had someone speaking, really representing the NFL of why they did this, said they believe there was a series of interactions where violence occurred, point blank, and that he should be suspended for it.
Well, and Elliott's team has already come out with a statement of their own, and they are going to fight this hard. And it makes me wonder if the suspension, almost like with Tom Brady's, if the appeal is going to take a long time, that this does not happen this year, potentially. One note in their response from the Ezekiel Elliott team, they said the NFL's findings are replete with factual inaccuracies and erroneous conclusions, and it cherry-picks so-called evidence to support its conclusion while ignoring other critical evidence. That said, the NFL did not rush this investigation, quite the opposite. It seems from the note that they sent Elliott, a 5 or 6 page dense recording of their findings, that they took their time and they came to a conclusion they believe in.
Yeah, this was something that I think that if they came down with it a little bit quicker, it wouldn't turn into the mess that it's about to turn into. It's already a mess, and it already has lingered so long. Just looking at the timeline of everything, there's so many events and there's so much time that has passed that it's hard to get a grasp on what the chain of command is and why it's taken so long to actually hand this down.
Well, there was a March incident this year, as Dan mentioned, that was ultimately added to the investigation.
The NFL is always going to be criticized for basically anything they do. Sometimes it's fairly, sometimes unfairly. In this case, I don't think the NFL was really, I think they did the right job here. I think that Elliott absolutely was doing things that the league has set very clearly, as Greg puts, in their guidelines of how you're supposed to carry yourself. And it should, and they handed out the punishment before the season started. Yes, it took the better part of a year, but it's squared away before week one, and the Cowboys know exactly where they stand a little late in the game. But that just, hey, listen, that's part of the problem when one of your players gets out of line like this. I think for the big picture for me also is Elliott, it's got to be a wake-up call to this guy, because there's been multiple incidents. And we work in the league, we hear stories like, there's clearly this guy is kind of living a lifestyle that can get him into himself into trouble, and this was a product of that directly. How does he react going forward? But we'll have to see.
I find it interesting because, Greg, I agree with you. Now that we have had this new kind of landscape on how these kind of, you know, issues will be dealt with, that six games was going to be a regular ban, a regular punishment, that we went from thinking 48 hours ago where the Jones family and the Cowboys were saying, we're confident that nothing will happen, and then you're hearing one game, it could be maybe one or two games, that this really fits exactly what the NFL said would happen to players in this situation. But again, they're not completely synced up with lawmakers. They are acting as their own godlike force.
But it's a totally different, and I don't know if there's been a lot of anti-NFL reaction of, wow, this is curious that they're doing this. First of all, it seems like there's anti, you know, if it was the other way a few years ago,
they can't win.
Obviously, I don't want to really dive into that because I don't feel like I have enough information to be like, oh, yeah, of course he deserved it. Of course he didn't. It's like, calm down. Like, everyone having these hot takes out there don't know what they're talking about. Like, I don't know. What I can evaluate is how it affects the Cowboys, how it affects Ezekiel Elliott, and they shouldn't be so surprised. Like, I'm a little weirded out. It's not the same thing as a court of law. It's kind of like the difference between a court of law and a civil case. In a civil case, you just need to get 51% of the blame to end up being guilty. In a court of law, like, you have to be beyond a reasonable doubt. The NFL's not looking for beyond reasonable doubt. They're looking to make, was he probably at fault for this violence against her? Were the reasons that they gave for her having bruises, etc., credible? They didn't think it was credible.
Right. All I'd say, though, is that we can move on to the football side, but it's not a complete mystery what the NFL, their process, or what they're thinking, because they sent a very detailed letter that anyone can read on Twitter to Ezekiel Elliott. That's their thinking, and exactly why the ruling happened.
We don't know everything about it, but we know what the NFL used as a basis, and I feel like that's enough personally to make an opinion on whether this was a just punishment. That's where I come down.
Yeah, I can't speak to the details of what happened between Ezekiel Elliott
that's what I mean.
And the woman, but I think that the league has to be consistent with their punishment, and if it's six games, it's six games. But it's interesting on the football side of it, because the Cowboys have a bye week six, so he's not coming back until week eight of the season.
Do they have, what's on their depth chart behind Elliott? Can they survive this?
Ronnie Hillman they brought in. They
Darren McFadden.
Rod Smith, Darren McFadden will be the starter, but Rod Smith, everybody who watched the Hall of Fame game, he had some good plays in there, and he's had a really good training camp. They like him. I think they brought in some guys because they were bracing for the suspension.
Well, right. Dallas is the only team to play four top 10 defenses from last year in what would be the window where he's gone. They'll play the Giants, the Broncos, Cardinals, Rams, Packers, and 49ers.
NFC East is wide open.
Yeah, I mean, Alfred Morris was believed to be on the roster bubble, that maybe Rod Smith, who's impressed, who can play a little fullback too, was going to kind of kick him off the roster. Now they have Alfred Morris there. That's another back who's had a 1,000-yard season. They'll keep him around. We've seen how this goes. We saw it a couple years ago when Darren McFadden was kind of the bridge running back in the year between DeMarco Murray and Zeke Elliott. They weren't too bad. The question for me is the offensive line as dominant? I mean, they have three of the best players. They should be fine. But they have a total question mark at left guard.
You got Jonathan Cooper there right now?
Right. A former top 10 pick who's washed out, and that's a competition. Lyle Collins should be good at right tackle. It's worth mentioning. He's moving from a guard position. He missed most of last season. So it's a little more uncertain with their line than it usually
would. They also, if you look at, and again, they're going to have time potentially to mix and match and use other running backs and get them you know, in sync with Dak Prescott. But if you look at Prescott's numbers when Elliott was not in there last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they fall off. They don't, his numbers don't fall off the cliff, but the running game falls off a cliff. The way that that offense operated, and it comes down to time of possession, that their rush play percentage went from 56% down to 35.5% without Elliott. That's not who they are. They want to run the ball at least around 50% of the time.
I want to see how it affects Dak, and also with this, all the suspensions on defense. This is the 16th player to be suspended since 2014 on the Cowboys. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's part of the narrative with that team, and I thought all summer it was going to be hard to match 13-3. This obviously adds another obstacle for them. That, I'm telling you, they feel like a team where things can go sour.
Well, now you've had this prediction for a long time. This is starting to come into play in a strong way.
He'll be back and play if he's healthy 10 games, but it just, I don't know, get a lot of bad juju.
And if you're Roger Goodell, the last two owners that you've gone hard at are Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm. Well, look how it worked out for the Patriots.
That's true. If you're going to look at a positive, that opener against the Giants is the only division game in that mix. You've got the 49ers and Rams out of those six games, which are about as easy a game on paper as they have all season. But you have some very challenging ones, too, at Denver, at Arizona. You get that Packers game there early, and you're doing it without Zeke.
Well, by the way, Mark, how do you know I didn't know that this was going to happen?
Oh, God.
How do you know I didn't have sparrows the whole time? That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know.
I will not argue with you. I mean, you made this prediction. You've been very confident for months about it.
I mean, if I know one thing about NFL, you know, network insider Dan Hanzus,
ATN insider.
He's not one to really like not talk about things he knows. Mm-hmm. You know,
ATN. It's true.
He generally is kind of.
Hey,
kind of.
For the truth, go to the Zoozer in the morning. The drop's playing. Just got to give.
And it's also very rarely about on-field football-related happenings. It's typically more, you know, personnel movement,
right.
In-house work-related gossip type things, and occasionally a locker room scenario like what happened with Tom Brady. So you've expanded your rule of insidery.
You really do always have the best gossip.
That's true, Colleen.
I want to know what you're giving your sparrows. I know that's secret,
gossip on you.
Like
let's start gossip on you and Greg and myself and others. That's it. You know, we're being played here.
What were you trying to say, Greg? It seemed like you were getting yourself worked up to taking a shot at me, but you never got to finish there.
I think I basically said it, that if you've got a bit of information, you're gonna put it out there.
I got the big three: Source 1, 2, and Trace. Triple source, baby.
When Mark said, rarely do you have sort of league information or player, you know, personnel stuff. You know, you could change rarely to never so far. So this would be a first. That's all I'm saying.
So salty. Moving on. Big trades. Come on, Greg. That's not like you.
It's totally like me.
Kind of is, actually. The Buffalo Bills join the New York Jets in the Give Up Club in the 2017 season. They make a couple moves, actually. The team announced that Sammy Watkins, their wide receiver, first-round pick in 2014, traded to the Los Angeles Rams, along with a 2018 sixth-round pick, in exchange for cornerback E.J. Gaines and a 2018 second-rounder and another corresponding deal. The Bills acquired wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a 2018 third-rounder from the Eagles for cornerback Ronald Darby. Mark, we'll start with you on this one. Your initial takeaways, let's start from the Bills' side of things. Your thoughts?
Well, when I had to write this thing up and you know, the tweets were coming fast and furious, my head was spinning because at one point I thought that, oh, Sammy Watkins will look great with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, but then you realize all these players are going elsewhere. If I look at from the Bills' angle, when they chose to completely pass the idea of giving Sammy Watkins to go, sign up for his option for next season, you knew he was not on the long-term plans, I thought, but, you know, unless he stayed in Buffalo, had a monster year, and they thought he fits here, that it shouldn't be shocking that he's been traded. Although it was surprising when this happened today, you look at what Buffalo's done here, they have accrued a second and third rounder from 2018, and they have a first rounder with the trade from Kansas City to allow Kansas City to trade up to get Patrick Mahomes. They are full force going after the 2018 draft, and I wouldn't be shocked if it could even be to package themselves to get their quarterback of choice if it's not Tyrod Taylor after this season. Mm. They are getting rid of Sammy Watkins. They have gotten Jordan Matthews. I think Jordan Matthews can do just as much as Sammy Watkins in that offense, but this is very much about the future in Buffalo.
Yeah, this was so interesting. First of all, the Bills having 6 picks in the first 3 rounds next year. Obviously, now they are in full rebuild mode, as you said. But I thought it was really interesting just bringing in Jordan Matthews, getting rid of Ronald Darby. Ronald Darby, he took a step back last season, but so did the entire Bills offense as a whole. Ronald Darby had his best season with Jim Schwartz when he was with the Bills. Now he's with the Eagles. That in 2015 when he was a rookie. And I thought that he played almost as good to have defensive rookie of the year status, even though Marcus Peters got it. But I believe he only allowed 4 touchdowns in a 2-game span in 2015. And I think the Eagles got a great guy because they really needed a cornerback. But from the Bills' perspective, what are they going to do at corner? I mean, Stephon Gilmore is already gone. You drafted Tre'Davious White, but yeah, if you're rebuilding.
It's not Scamp for Sam in Buffalo. It's not that dire. I think they'll be able to be competitive because their quarterback's a little underrated and they still have some players there. But, you know, it makes sense to me. Maybe they have a huge hole in their cornerback, but in secondary, who cares? Who cares? Because they're just like the Jets to a certain extent, just like the Dolphins, even the Dolphins don't realize it yet. It's all has to be building for tomorrow because nothing's happening in the present. So I also think it was part of a culture move. Let's sweep his legacy out of the building. Let's get these guys out of here and just put my stamp on it.
Right.
I think it was a couple things. I think the Whaley side of it and the team just realizing what's our ceiling? 10 wins if everything goes right. What does that mean? We're going to go to New England and win in the division round? I just think that they realize what their ceiling was. They realize it's time to play for the future, and that's the move they made.
Well,
I liked it.
It's hard, though, and they shouldn't pay for the sins of Buddy Nix and Chan Gailey and Doug Whaley and Rex Ryan and every other plan that they've changed every 2 years in Buffalo. But I think it's fair if you're a Bills fan to be a little annoyed that, hey, we just gave up 2 first round picks and another pick for Sammy Watkins. That was our guy. We bought a ton of jerseys. He's the most talented guy, you know, receiver we've had in a long time. He's gone. Ronald Darby was PFF's defensive rookie of the year. This is the part of the move that doesn't make much sense to me because he's got 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
That total $1.3 million. The Eagles have to look at it like, we just got an extremely talented player who doesn't cost anything. Worst case scenario, we franchise him like 3 years from now. That's a 3-year contract at a very low price for a very good player. And all we had to give up was a third round pick and Jordan Matthews, who was in the last year of his contract, who
probably wasn't going to stick around Philly.
Right. Probably wasn't going to be that big of a factor. I think is a very replaceable wide receiver that they're not going to really miss too much with Nelson Aguilar. And they've got some depth there and they get Ronald Darby back. It's great for them, and I think Bills fans just have to put their faith in, like, okay, I guess we have to trust that McDermott and Brandon Bean are going to make the right picks. But when was the last time a Bills GM made the right picks? It was about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't blame the fans for being upset. I know it's different people, but you're looking for really talented young players, and they just traded away 2 of their most talented young players.
As I'd say, though, down in the newsroom, we were saying it technically is not a 3-team trade.
No.
But it is in the sense that the only way that they get Watkins out the door, which was going to happen at some point anyways, was to get something in return. And the Philadelphia side of it, I think they didn't get fleeced, but they gave up a lot to get Jordan Matthews. No, I'm saying the Bills.
Oh, okay.
The Bills giving up Darby is an expensive piece, but I think there was an agenda to get Watkins out of town.
I don't think that Jordan Matthews is going to be better than Sammy Watkins, though. Jordan Matthews has never had 1,000 yards receiving. Even Kenny Britt last year had more receiving yards.
He has a high ceiling, Watkins. On the Rams side of the ball, let's just look at the Rams before we move on here. So they get another weapon in Watkins, and listen, this guy has been
8 games last year.
The Bills traded up and passed on essentially Mike Evans and Odell Beckham to get Sammy Watkins 3 years ago. And now it's the Rams, it's their turn to really invest in the idea of Sammy Watkins as a superstar. But on paper, I get it. You first overall pick, Jared Goff, had nothing to work with, had a coaching staff that was over the match last year. Let's now give him a real weapon on the outside. The where you could come at them a little bit, Greg, is you could say, all right, you know, Watkins is unproven. He's got a foot. He has foot issues. And it costs you a second-round pick. When your team that's clearly still building towards something, it's expensive to get a guy with as much risk as Watkins has, especially when the 2018 free agent class of wide receiver is so deep.
You don't want to get in the habit of trading away future picks. And this group, Sean McVay, was still paying for Jared Goff trade. They didn't have a first or second-round pick this year. Now they trade away next year's. This deal only makes sense if Watkins is there long-term. They now are in the spot where they have to get a contract done with Aaron Donald. They basically have to make this Watkins move work because it really makes no sense for it to happen as a one-year rental. That said, the Eagles' biggest hole on their roster was cornerback by far. It was not a competitive cornerback group. The Rams' biggest hole on their roster by far was a vertical type of receiver. I mean, the closest thing they had was Robert Woods, who's a possession guy.
Former teammate to Sammy.
Right. Suddenly, it makes a lot more sense. Okay, Robert Woods, the possession guy. You got Cooper Kupp, your slot receiver. And Tavon Austin is essentially a forgotten man and just kind of a utility number four guy. And it all works a lot better. This team is much better with Sammy Watkins.
One thing. I mean, this Rams front office, A, you had to cut bait on Greg Robinson. And now all the whispers are, oh, well, how do we get rid of Tavon Austin? Can he be traded? Oh, he doesn't have certain, you know, you don't owe him a certain amount of money after this season. It's more doable after signing the ridiculous extension that he has signed, which was essentially the team saying, we've created a star player, but no one else saw him as a star player. If Tavon Austin moves and you are the Rams GM, you have essentially, with two first-round picks, on your tenure, they're already off the team. How much more time do you have in that organization?
That's why I think it lowers the honeymoon period here. Now with Watkins and Goff, it's like, okay, we got to have Goff and Watkins do some damage
now. I think they got to win 7 games minimum this year and show something and be competitive. Or I think Snead finally runs out of time. He's had quite a bit of rope now before we move on. Just because it's such a seismic deal, I got to throw it over to the Fantasy Corner, the Mark Sessler Fantasy Corner. It's a dangerous place to be. It has volcanic viewpoints. And also,
I forgot my mace.
Yeah, just quite frankly, it's not a nice neighborhood.
It's getting worse.
Mark, what is the fallout for Sammy Watkins and his fantasy value in 2017?
I think his fantasy value is, listen, if he can play a full 16 games, I could see 60 catches, 940 yards, about 5 touchdowns, which is in the neighborhood of what he did his first 2 seasons before last year's injury-riddled campaign. But that all triggers off Jared Goff not being a fundamental disaster.
Yes. Question, follow-up question.
Yeah.
Is that a military tank behind you?
Yes. This part of town is hot on the North Korean radar, and so there are concerns.
How much of your outfit is Kevlar?
Not sure what that means. Oh, Kevlar armor? I don't wear armor because, listen, a reporter just has to put themselves right into the – you want to be part of the real common man when you're out here on the street. Most of them are running.
All right.
So
let's put our windows up and drive away.
Before we move on, though, I know we talked a little bit about being – you're, of course, the ATN insider.
Media insider, yep.
But you're not the only one who had a little bit of a scoop.
You got a little scoops?
Earlier this week. It's becoming more clear, and the Philadelphia Eagles trade Jordan Matthews to
the Bills
for a mid-round pick, let's say the 4th-round pick.
Wow, you nailed it.
I mean, that was
great job.
That was Monday. That was just
you
last show. You listened to
it.
Our show. We said make one prediction what's going to happen in the offseason. There we go.
That's pretty good, bro.
Wow.
Whose voice was that?
That was an interesting voiceover.
That was
Erica. Who was that?
It was like weird paranormal activity.
I grabbed someone randomly walking by.
Well done, good producing.
Erica flying in her
good
first.
That's great.
Yeah,
coming in off the bench early in the first quarter and doing a nice job so far. All right, good trip to the Fantasy Corner. By the way, Fantasy Extravaganza coming up later this month. Finally, in the news, real quick, just because it's kind of a silly story. At this point, Brandon Albert, the offensive lineman the Jags traded for, he was holding out for a deal, and then he retired, and then that was in late July. And then earlier this week, Albert expressed his desire to return to the team. The team, in turn, placed him on the reserve slash retired list, Colleen. Mm-hmm. And then the Jaguars, they just washed their hands entirely. They released the offensive tackle, according to Rap Sheet, on Friday. Put a bow on it, Colleen.
Yeah, this was
put a bow on it, tiny box.
A lot of activity for Brandon Albert for actually not doing anything, but we've been talking about him a lot. It's been a weird journey for him on the team, off the team, retired, maybe not retired. I think that he is having trouble with his decision making right now.
Well, or what's going to happen to his bank account? And maybe
exactly.
That wasn't completely. Maybe the agent needed to give a little more information about the consequences attached.
Right,
yeah,
but now they can't go.
Can't
go after his $3.4 million. So it was a nice move for Brandon Albert. He just pretended he wanted to play again.
I think it was a $3 million signing bonus.
I like what Roto World called it—a bizarre cat and mouse between these two ridiculous entities.
It's also silly. Grow up, Peter Pan. Play out your contract, get cut, but I retire. No, I want back in.
Well, yeah, if you had to give back your signing bonus, you'd be like, hey, guys, listen, I'm back. I'm feeling good.
There's certain to be a certain lack of dignity involved with the process. That's all. I don't want to point fingers
you
at
wanted so more. You wanted more dignity involved in all of this.
The Brandon Albert
that
saga.
That was what you were looking for.
A touch of dignity.
You would leave the money behind?
If my integrity was threatened.
Really? There's no way.
$3.5 million?
No way.
Yes. Dude, didn't you just tell us on a recent episode that you wandered back into a temp job that you had bolted to get your $35 paycheck? So come on.
That was a different me.
Great right, callback. Well.
But that is that is an efficient turning of the tables there, Mark. That's what's happening in the news. New era. Oh, man. So many hats. NFL's training camp collection has a great combination of innovative performance and style with features like UV protection, moisture wicking, and cooling technology. There is no reason, none at all, you shouldn't make the New Era NFL Training Collection.
Nailed it.
I guess. It's a copy issue. A part of your daily attire. Available at retailers like Lids, NFLShop.com, and Dick's Sporting Goods in your favorite team. Shouldn't it be available in your favorite team at retailers like Lids, NFLShop.com, and Dick's Sporting Goods?
I think they've done an excellent job with the copy.
Yeah.
We appreciate their help.
It should maybe be mixed up a little bit. Maybe tweak that.
Hey, Erica, can we, one of your first jobs, just tweak this copy a little bit?
You got it.
Yeah. So it reads a little better?
Could get
great. You're going to blame Erica now.
No. I'm actually saying if she can help us out with this.
You feel like she can multitask. She's already shown that ability.
I think she's a straight shooter with upper management potential.
Yep. It's the early scouting report.
All right, let's move on and talk some Thursday and Friday Do we want to talk to Wes now, or do we want to save that to the end of the show as well? We're going to call
Wes. We're talking to Wes?
Yeah, we're going to talk to Wes today.
Let's do it.
Should we do it now?
Yeah, he said he had some news for us.
All right.
Let's call him.
Yeah, let's do it, because pulled the curtain back about 5 minutes before we came up here for the show. Wes said he had some news, and he wanted to tell us about it on the podcast. Now, we're extremely curious what that news could be. Now, I want to speculate here. I hope it's good news, but it could be anything.
The curtain back even farther.
Pull it back a little further.
I know what the news is.
Mm. Whoa! Ooh.
Everyone here, what's everyone? These information brokers,
that's
all of
true.
You, with
a little
your
bit
deep
of an ATN
sources.
Insight.
I'm kind
there.
Of
a lot of sparrows.
I got the scoop. Do we have what? Do I hear Wes
on
the
phone
right now?
Yeah, but I'm just curious who got the scoop.
My husband, do you know him? John Gonzalez?
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Oh, okay. That guy. All right. Wes, are you on the line, buddy?
I am. I just got out of Colleen's car with her husband.
Hello.
Ah, the motorized monster. You were in it.
I love it. I love your car. I've always wanted a Jeep.
Yeah, it's fun.
I really want to get to the news from Chris Wessling, but why is it called the motorized monster?
Because it's a four-door Wrangler, but it's stick, and so it's just like hulking down the highway. So it's a beast.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Drive stick in this day of it.
It's not smooth.
Yeah, I bet. All right, Wes, so you said you have some, should we call it breaking news?
Breaking.
All right, we got breaking news. Floor is yours, bud.
So let me set the stage for you a little bit. In the past couple of months, since they found the tumor and started radiation and chemotherapy, we have no way of knowing how much the tumor has shrunk, if it's spread, how well everything's worked. They ran CT scans on me Monday, but I haven't heard, so I didn't know anything. And we ran an endoscopy today when I came to from the propofol, which puts you under. The doctor was crying.
Whoa. What's up?
In a very good way. She woke me up, said, the cancer is obliterated.
Whoa!
Oh, boy.
Yeah!
Wow.
She her job was to go in and tattoo the tumor so the surgeon can find it, and there was no tumor to tattoo, she said. So
that is amazing news.
Wow, Wes.
Wow.
Wes, I feel like I'm going to cry right now.
I know.
Yeah, when I called the paramour, she had me a little misty.
They used the word obliterated.
Obliterated. They also used the word, you are going to go in and have surgery on Wednesday because they want to make sure nothing's hiding in the walls or anything like that. And then you'll be cured. She used the word cured twice.
That is amazing. That's the best news in the history of the Around the NFL podcast.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God, Wes. I'm so happy. That's the greatest news ever. Like, this is amazing. And we will be able to soon go to Hinano together and celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
John was talking about Hinano at least 7 or 8 times on the way home.
I'm sure.
Wow, that's great. So, I mean, where does that rank in Chris Wessling lifetime good news? I mean, is there anything even approaching that?
I think it ranks right behind a few months ago when I found out the cancer had not spread and I wasn't going to die in the next year.
Yeah, that feels fair. That feels like a fair number one placeholder.
What was your, when she told you that and she used the word obliterated, what went through your mind?
It's amazing because so much of this has been me reading her face over the past few months. When she found the tumor on the first endoscopy, there was grave concern, and she's such a good doctor, and I could just see it on her face that she was worried. And then when a few days later when we ran the test and she saw that it had not spread, just the relief, and again, she was in tears when she found out it hadn't spread, and I saw the same look on her face today, so I knew it was going to be just great news. But you're still like, you're coming out of the propofol, which puts you under, so there's still a few cobwebs, and I'm trying to take it all in, and I see her crying, but also smiling really wide. And like, you think worst case scenario, as poorly as I've been eating and as much kind of suffering as I've been going through the past month and a half, a lot of things enter your mind and you don't know, like, how much of it is the tumor and how much of it is the radiation and the chemo, like doing a number on your cells and killing them. And you just don't know why you're suffering. So to find out that the chemo and the radiation did their job, and you were suffering because they did their job, and it wasn't the tumor. Like, that to me was such a relief.
Hmm. Wow. Oh my God, Wes! I wish I could give you a big hug right now.
Well, John's gonna have us at Hinano this weekend. We can do that.
That is ideal. That is amazing, Wes.
Oh my God, Wes! Are you at all worried that you've rendered the rest of this podcast kind of pointless? Because there's no way to top that. Like, I don't know how we're going to go back into talking about, like, the Browns' offensive line on Thursday night.
The Falcons' strong side linebacker situation suddenly meaningless.
I was so ebullient, I just had to share my news. You know, I just had to get it out.
That's awesome, buddy.
Awesome, awesome, Wes. No, that is a great way to send yourself into the weekend, as I can imagine. Wes, obliterating cancer in a big spot. Some say the biggest spot.
Well, with just a little bit of help from the doctors and medicine and technology.
Yeah, you see it your way, I see it mine. Wes, awesome. That is great news.
Oh,
it's great
God,
news
buddy.
For all of us, and we can't wait until you knock out the surgery, and then, yes, Hinano's podcasts, all the good life stuff.
We love you, brother.
Love you guys, too.
Love you, bud. All right. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Just end the show right there.
I don't know. Yeah, we should have done this at the end. I'm now an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
Like,
my instinct was to do it at the end. I didn't know the news, so I didn't know if it was going to be that great. But that's great.
John texted me before.
Dan's announcement at the back is really what's going to suffer in comparison right now.
That's true, too.
Well, all the people that fast-forwarded just to hear that, and they've missed this announcement entirely.
They got banged. They get banged hard.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. Just hearing Wes, though, tell that story, like, really got me.
Great news for the local bar scene. Wes is back. He's ready to spend some cash.
It's been just taverns across West L.A. shuttering over the past, like, 3 months or so. But, no, business is about to pick up in a big way. So, yes, that is great news. And let's move forward with the show. Listen, it'd be, imagine it was bad news. We have good news. There's no reason to stop the show. We'll just keep rolling. But now we're all happy.
Okay.
If anything, it can make it makes the preseason more exciting to talk about because that's what began on Thursday night. You know, you count the Hall of Fame game. I don't count the Hall of Fame game.
What? Why? It's part of the preseason.
I'm with you.
I don't really buy into it as part of the preseason.
You didn't buy into the beginning of Hall of Fame weekend?
Listen, a great 2018 win by the Cowboys, really squeaker of a victory over the Arizona Cardinals. But now we're
comeback. Come from behind.
Big time comeback in the Hall of Fame game. But I don't care. I want to get into the week one of the preseason proper. So let's go through the games that have been played. There were, I don't know, about seven on Friday or on Thursday.
Seven.
And one on Wednesday. Let's start. I guess we'll just start. Let's just go in order. We'll talk about the Wednesday game first because there were some good things to take away from that. It was the Texans against the Carolina Panthers. And everyone wanted to see what happened at the quarterback situation. Greg, get us going there with what you saw behind center for the Texans. Of course, the situation, Tom Savage, people think that, or he's been positioned as this guy that could be a real starter. Deshaun Watson, the team's first-round pick.
I think Deshaun Watson just showed it and confirmed everything that you've heard about him in training camp, that he's a little ahead of pace, that a lot of the things that you were excited about in terms of, you know, to use a terrible word, poise and his decision making, just kind of looked like, all right, he's ready to play some NFL quarterback. Wasn't perfect, but he was fun to watch. Like, you had those supersize, you know, those Alex Smith comparisons going into the draft, and you can kind of see that watching him play. He seems like he's going to be ready to play sooner than later.
Yeah, I think he absolutely will play this season. The idea that that's not going to happen, even it maybe doesn't happen at the start. But there's not Tom Savage. Nothing happened with that Texans offense against the Panthers starters. Carolina took Houston to town early on. Watson came in. He was not facing the starting defense, but I thought he extended plays well. And he had a nice connection with Flipper Anderson's son, Dre's Anderson.
Is that really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I did not know that historically. I did some research on this guy and found that out.
But when I watch Humblebrag, when I watch Tom Savage.
It's not a Humblebrag. I'm telling you, I did not innately know that.
It's good, though. It's good that you did the research.
Tom Savage.
Oh, please.
He kind of looks like every other kind of, I don't want to be mean, but kind of stiff backup, mediocre quarterback you've ever seen. Kind of a statue in the pocket.
Savage.
A savage, kind of a statue in the pocket, maybe holds the ball too long, maybe can hit a pass every once in a while. And that, so he leaves the game, and then the rookie comes in, and Watson, I think to me, I think there's a real chance he's going to start week one. You don't want to make snap judgments, but the fact that he came in and the way he was able to move in the pocket, the way he was able to make plays happen, I just thought there was such a big difference to me in seeing how the offense just seemed to be more lively with Watson behind center over Savage.
Yeah, there was a little bit more of a pop in the offense when you watched it with Watson. I think they were able to do a little bit, some different things just because of his athleticism. Also, I felt he had the ability to, he was cool with throwing the ball away when there was nothing there. And I think that shows kind of, that shows his maturity too. Yeah, and when I watched with Tom Savage, it was just kind of a boring vanilla offense.
He's Tom Savage.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, he was like 9 for 11. And it's like we always talk about preseason sample size. It's like normally a football player plays a whole game and you make an evaluation. This is two or three series and one of them ended in a touchdown. It's like I drew nothing from Tom Savage's performance in particular, but it was nice to see Deshaun Watson kind of confirm all the good things you've heard about it. I really doubt he's going to start week one.
I thought Christian McCaffrey looked good. He looked sort of, you know, you saw little bits of what we've been hearing to some degree. He didn't break free or anything. Damir Bird looks like he could be potentially a deep threat for the Panthers and fill that slot for them. I was stunned to find out that Joe Webb is still playing quarterback.
Isn't that amazing?
For like 88 years. But
he went to receiver for a while, and then I think it was last year he settled back into like special teams captain / third string quarterback, which is badass. I mean,
played pretty well.
Eighth year in his career, to carve out a career like that if you had said that when he was the most random playoff starter, I think probably of this decade, when he was told he was going to start 30 minutes before the game and had that terrible performance, it's like he's still going strong, making that money.
But Derek Anderson, I think when we talked about our backup QB rankings, maybe even knock him up a notch or two.
You want to take him up?
Yeah.
Derek Anderson, just you put him in there, he just makes things happen.
You know,
how about Kelvin Benjamin?
He brings back.
Oh, my God. He looked great.
Derek Anderson brings back glory memories for you of the 2007 season.
Well, that season went very south at the end, but there were some incredible moments, yes.
Yeah. Kelvin Benjamin, yeah, he looked good. He lost 20 pounds, by the way, since that spring camp practice where he showed up and Ron Rivera said that he was looking heavy.
A lot of weight talk.
Yeah, he's down. He was in the mid-260s when he reported this spring. He's playing in the 240s now, and he made a nice catch in traffic for a touchdown and kind of looked like maybe the 2013 Kelvin Benjamin a little bit.
So. You were on Twitter calling out the belly truthers, that you're down on
yes.
belly truthers.
I'm getting after the belly truthers. And by the way, just so you know, Greg, H. Butker hit a 51-yard field goal with 4:21 to play in this game, but it wasn't enough as the Panthers won 27-17.
Are you tracking that kicker battle?
Got to get that score in.
Big Butker fan.
Why on earth do we need the score?
The Panthers improve to 1-0 in the preseason. No, Texans okay. fall to 0-1.
Track this heavily, please.
Let's move on. And by the way, a shout-out, despite Greg taking shots at me about my insider status, shout-out to both Greg and Wes for their write-ups on Wednesday and Thursday, the winners and losers. You got to check that. Check it out. Because you're going to learn a lot. See? Greg, see?
Thanks, buddy. It's
like. I love what we learn.
No, it's just a compliment
okay.
of your work. Not looking for anything back.
Well, okay. I'm sure he is.
Really?
So you better deliver something back verbally before the show wraps.
let's move on to the Friday games. Greg, since you did write the What We Learned, where do we want to start? Maybe in order of what jumped out to you the most on Thursday night?
Well, the big story to me was Mitchell Trubisky, because the last most people remember him was getting filleted on draft day by all the people who thought the Bears were insane for trading him up, and this is a guy we've barely seen play college, and we haven't heard too much good or bad in camp, and you watch him play on Thursday night, and he was the most memorable thing on Thursday night. I'm not saying he was exactly like Dak Prescott a year ago, but he basically had a perfect opening statement. Like, literally, they had no points and just about no first downs in six drives before he came in, and he comes in, touchdown, touchdown, field goal. He didn't have an incompletion, for his first 11 throws. And three or four of those throws, especially late in that third drive, the field goal drive, there's a 3rd and 18 where he gets hit after the play. Perfect. There's a couple throws right on the run. And it's just like, okay, this is a guy that looks like a guy who should be drafted in the top five, who's got some talent.
Fun to watch. And suddenly the Bears look, there was such a stink on the Bears around this whole thing. Tom Pelissero wrote an interesting piece that people have started. This happened with Dak Prescott, that league executives around the league would start texting him saying, like, this Prescott guy's for real. That started to happen with Trubisky, that people are saying he looks in control. And there were a couple plays with him over and over. It wasn't like run for your life in the wrong direction. It's step up in the pocket, throw the ball, and it's on point. Throw after throw. The accuracy that they talked about was there.
Yeah.
There was a play where he had to spin through defenders into a wide open space, and the play broke down. He spun around and then just ran for a first down. He's good on his feet. I don't know. It's one game, but like I was expecting a disaster from Trubisky.
Yeah.
Shame on the football cognoscenti, too. Because you can't – if you're going to
– now.
I'm just going to say, it's on my radar a little bit. I'm not going to cast any shame on him yet, actually. But if you're going to all of a sudden come around and all of a sudden love Mitch Trubisky and be like, oh, wow, the Bears are doing it. They've really hit on something special here. Well, you better have a mea culpa for burying this team for 3 months without ever seeing the kid take a snap.
But it's too us in the room should?
Well, everyone.
But it's too early. It's too early to say either way. I think DJ points this out every Daniel Jeremiah.
I'm not going to be ignored.
points this out every preseason. scouts should never start bragging or taken out from preseason performances. There's a lot of like, oh, look, they were right. It's like, no. I mean, no one knows if they're right or not.
A couple years ago, we're glowing over Blake Bortles. We're all saying that we've found, like, the child of Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it's like, please.
I think Bears fans can be excited, though.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hey, this was fun.
I was flying back from the East Coast, so this is the only game that I got to watch live. So I watched it pretty closely, and I was really excited when Trubisky came in. At one point, he completed 10 straight passes, and this comes after Mike Glennon had a rough start to this game. He had a pick six, and then there was a high snap. I mean, Glennon is a pretty tall dude. He's like 6'6".
Well, the snap wasn't on him. The pick six.
The snap went over his head. No, what I'm saying is
like a 2 second three and out in between those two events were on him too. I mean, the contrast is what you're talking about.
It was messy, yeah. And Trubisky came in, and all of a sudden it turned around. He looked good, and then also their Tyree Cohen, the running back, had a lot of really good plays. I mean, he played a little bit of everything. He was returning punts. He was carrying the ball well. And Adam Shaheen, the tight end. I really liked him, too.
Glennon should win the starting job, you'd think, at least in week one. But he has to be better than he was, obviously, in this game. And if Trubisky plays lights out all preseason, it puts them in a position where they might convince themselves to just bail on this Glennon thing entirely as a starter.
Well, there was this belief that, oh, well, you know, Trubisky is the one quarterback that there's no way he'll play this season. Even if Mahomes, yes, but Trubisky was packed into that too. That yes, they're sold on Glennon. Glennon could be yanked within the first game of the season. Honestly,
Trubisky is playing really against like week three Mike Glennon right now, because if he just looks good all month, then it just makes that leash so short. You never know. I mean, if he looked good all 3 weeks and Glennon struggled all 3 weeks, you have to think about. John Fox said though, one game's not going to change his depth chart. So fear not, Mark Sanchez fans. You're still probably ahead of Trubisky on the depth chart, which is stupid.
Well, one of my favorite Greg-isms is he really doesn't like Mark Sanchez.
That's not true. Don't play the old veteran in front of Trubisky.
Or John Fox, for that matter.
So. I don't even disagree with you, but I do like you'll never miss an opportunity to take a shot.
I knew you would like that.
Yeah, my boy Mark Sanchez, who went into Foxborough in January 2011 and won a damn playoff game.
Yeah. Keep rewatching that.
That's almost a decade ago.
Oh, you should talk. You're watching your Browns games from 1981 in front of the television.
That is multiple decades ago.
You're watching Browns losses during a party.
Nor am I telling you during a podcast how great Webster Slaughter was. I mean, I'm not using
at the softball.
It was a great name.
At the softball celebration. True or false, the drive was being played on the television at the house.
It was. I mean, we were outside, but then we came in and it was on, yes.
And all right, let's just move on.
Getting killed for that in my own house.
Let's move on. And by the way, you guys should know that D'Angelo Henderson's 41-yard touchdown run with just 1:49 to play lifted the Broncos
not a person
to a 24-17 win.
We should mention Paxton Lynch did not look good, I think. Making decisions took a while, and it really was a repeat of all the camp practice reports that we've
Broncos read. Want
that
Broncos
Simeon
fans,
looks fine and right. Lynch looks not
Broncos
Simeon
fans
by default.
Want they want Paxton Lynch to look the way that Trubisky did last
exactly time. So that's where it can be a little different, like you'd love to see that.
Let's reset the decks here. Six games to still talk about.
That's the only one that
54
really
minutes into the show, so I'm not saying we should not say things that that aren't our mind. But let's remember.
Gotcha.
That's the speed round. Those were the two quarterbacks.
That's good hosting.
All right. I would love to just stay here all day, but I know we can't. So let's move on and talk about Mark, why don't you throw one out there? Colleen, you're on deck.
How about a little Saints-Browns action?
All right.
I thought when it comes to Cleveland's defense played one of the better preseason games I've seen them play in a long time.
Is this the Saints-Browns game in 2017 or like 1984?
That's your trick. Bringing up some Jets game that I watched at Jocks or Daly's 7 years ago. Give me a break.
Go ahead.
When it comes to another quarterback of note, I think that DeShone Kizer absolutely outplayed Brock Osweiler. Cleveland's starting offense under Osweiler was a stillborn operation. It was a disaster. And, you know, Kizer initially, not a lot happened.
But wow.
I love everything about this place. I love being a Brown, and I'm just very thankful to be here.
Well, he's lucky he's there because I'm not sure where he's going to be on that depth chart come the season. Because Kizer, again, it's a preseason game. He was not facing starters. Impressive night, I thought. He showed, number one, his arm strength is something that I can't really think of a Browns quarterback having in a long, long time.
Look like Big Ben.
I mean, he's
people are like, oh, that's against third or fourth stringers. Give me a break. It doesn't matter who you're against when you're dodging people in the pocket and then pump faking a guy and throwing it 65 yards. That's just talent.
Yeah, it was not nearly as clean as what we saw from Trubisky, but I think that he's a different type of quarterback, number one. And he moved that offense down the field multiple times at the end of the game. It was a weird sight for a Browns fan to see.
It was the same thing when I was watching the Texans. Same thing, same experience in my mind, which was, all right, they got the guy starting who is completely uninspiring and is just another guy. And then you got the kid who's making things happen and looks exciting, and you want to make sure you bring these guys along at the right pace. You don't want to throw them in too quickly. But if you're the Browns, you have to be thinking to yourself, if this guy continues to make wow plays and Brock Osweiler is going to continue to be Brock Osweiler, do you just go for it in week one?
I think Hugh Jackson wants him to be their quarterback of the future today. I don't know what will happen. One quick note, Alvin Kamara, I thought for the Saints, looked awesome. Shredded Cleveland's defense. And Cam Irvin, Cleveland's first-round draft pick from a couple years ago, I honestly think he's a cut candidate. He was an absolute mess.
You can't have Brock
at left tackle.
Can't have Brock starting games. It's just so... It would just be so depressing.
When he's working himself out of the
games.
Job.
After the games, he's saying things like this.
Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure in the history of the game, no ball's ever been completed that was thrown out of bounds.
Ooh. I'm going to miss this guy when he's gone after this year.
That was a joke? Like that was his version of a joke or something? But funny he also was pointing out that he couldn't throw the ball in bounds, which isn't a good thing.
That's a problem.
Connie, you're up.
Okay.
Wait, but one
for
more
game,
one
Miles
more thought.
Garrett, he looked
one more
good.
Thought. Congratulations, Mark.
For what?
That was a fun game to watch as a Browns fan, wasn't it?
You've got a quarterback.
I don't know if either of those things are true. It was fun to some degree. I don't know if I have a quarterback yet.
Connie, I was saying to move on to the next game.
Oh, okay. No, I was just going to say Miles Garrett looked as good as advertised. Not that anybody was expecting him to do anything good. Less, but he disrupted some plays and looked good out there.
That kid's got a motor. All right, you're up.
All right, here
next
we go.
Game.
I'm going to go with the Bills and the Vikings.
All right, Bills, Vikes. What was your big takeaway?
So with that, I just thought it was funny because Tyrod Taylor, the first three passes were to Sammy Watkins, all completions, and I feel like they were setting this up for the trade. Like, hey, look, Sammy's healthy. He's feeling good. He's catching balls.
I think they were.
That's what they were saying?
I think
that's
they were.
Exactly
I
what
think
they
the
said.
Eagles did it too. I think they obviously had worked a lot on this trade, and Jordan Matthews got a lot of targets.
I know. Yep. That was by
What's
design.
What's so sad is Bills fans were going crazy to watch Sammy Watkins.
I know.
Feel bad.
Yeah, so it was that, and then McCoy's backup, Jonathan Williams.
Badass.
He looked really good, too, on some of those
runs.
That's
a familiar name.
Shout out.
Spicy.
The Spice Rack. That was his guy.
Spicy. He left with a hamstring injury.
Right.
I don't know how serious
he's fine.
It is. But
he said he's fine.
He was running well in Spice Rack. And when Spice Rack had his complete, talking about obliteration of his potential podcast career, when he melted down last year on our airwaves, he did manage to sputter out that Jonathan Williams was a guy to watch on the Bills. Or I guess he wasn't on the Bills yet. Or was he on the Bills at that point? Was this a pre-draft Spicy appearance?
Pre-draft, yeah.
Doesn't really matter. He likes Jonathan Williams. Let's see if we see more from him.
He looked good.
Yeah, because that position's pretty thin, and that's a run-first offense. So, I mean, he looked good.
I am concerned about Sam Bradford got sacked big. He got destroyed twice in two series. And that line, which was such an issue last year, it was injury-related to some degree. I wonder if it's that much better.
Little housekeeping real quick. Jordan Payton, touchdown pass from Kizer, 2014. The Browns won that game, 1-0 for the Browns. And
I thought we had moved on, but you just have to get that score in, huh?
Got to get the score in. And in this game that we're talking about now, Desmond Lewis's one-yard touchdown reception from Nathan Peterman, which was followed by an Austin Rekow kick, gave the Vikings a 17-10 victory over Buffalo. So a tough couple days for the Browns.
So we're going extra points now added to the –
Any other thoughts from that game before we move on?
I think Dalvin Cook is an interesting pass-catching back.
Yeah.
I wasn't totally sold on him running the ball, but I just want to see more.
Moving on, Greg, throw us a game. We got four more to get to. Do you need help? Here they are.
I'll do a one quick point off of Eagles Packers.
Okay.
Which is that Ty Montgomery had reportedly had fumbling troubles throughout training camp. There's been some buzz that Jamal Williams from Sydney's own BYU was coming on fast and maybe taking some carries away. And Ty Montgomery lost the fumble on his second carry of the preseason. So you would think this is starting to be a problem for a guy who also is known not to be too great at pass protection. So that I love watching Ty Montgomery, but that's a little bit of a caution for all the fantasy buzz that he's getting.
I think that's fair.
Derek Barnett also looked really good in that game. Sully, as soon as I came in, he bombarded me with highlights. Go to my Twitter. Look at this. But he did really look good.
You know it's August.
Football time in Tennessee.
You know it's August when Matt McGloin throws the ball 42 times.
Wow.
That was an odd, totally odd box score.
For less than 5 yards per attempt, by the way. So, Matty, not really lighting it up. A 24-9 Packers victory. Let's take a look at Atlanta-Miami. Atlanta-Miami.
It looks like Dolphins second-rounder Raekwon McMillan, his knee injury, it appeared to be pretty serious. I don't know.
Yeah, that happened early in the game.
I think he has a torn ACL, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah. He is expected to miss the season with a torn ACL. So that's disappointing.
That's a big blow for them.
Tough news for him. Not overall for the game so far.
Probably was
going to
start for that team, by the way. A position that could be a weakness. Plus, you know, named after Raekwon the Chef.
For real?
Is that right?
Interesting.
I don't know that for sure.
Oh.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
You could have just told us, yes.
Wait, how are you pretty sure? Like, you have...
I looked it up at the time, and I was like, whoa, was he named after Raekwon? And I think the answer is yes.
We saw Matt Ryan for one series for the Falcons and 3 for 3, 32 yards and a touchdown. I think they converted to Devonta Freeman on a 4th-and-1 for a touchdown. So they got the offense in there. They do their work. Matt Moore, one attempt for the Dolphins. I guess that surprised me a little bit, but they're trying to get a look at their...
A lot of Brandon Doughty last night.
It was a big Doughty party.
Tough week for Jalen Collins. Got suspended 10 games and then gave up a 99-yard touchdown to like a third-string receiver.
Not great.
Yikes.
And more bad news for the Falcons. They fell 23-20. Oof. Miami outscoring the Falcons 13 points in the fourth quarter. Does that sound familiar?
Hey.
This could be a tough
Close
one.
Close out your games, Dan Quinn.
This could be a tough one to bounce back from.
All right. Also, around the league, let's talk about, the Jacksonville Jaguars and New England Patriots. Mm. Tell me a little bit what you saw from Blake Bortles, Greg Rosenthal.
Not much, good or bad. He wasn't in long enough. He was just kind of there. That would be my Bortles assessment. And then Jimmy G, I learned that some of the Patriots homers who were kind of like it was a sponsorship slash announcer. I was confused what was going on. He's called Game Day Garoppolo. Cause apparently, he's okay in practice, but put him on game day, and Jimmy G's going to inspire.
Thought Deion Lewis looked good. How about Leonard Fournette, man? I'm into some Leonard Fournette.
He thinks he's going to lead the league in rushing.
He's a load.
I mean, that coach wants to run the ball like roughly 57 times a game, so it feels possible.
They did in that game. They ran the ball twice as much as they threw it.
They were using him on fourth down. He plowed right through the Patriots for like an 8-yard gain at one point.
Rex Ryan, Geno Smith-esque in that Monday night game. 18 pass attempts for the entire game in a preseason game. So I don't know if Doug Marone's sending messages in week one of the preseason about.
They scored 31 points.
They did.
That's
in
what they
fact,
want to be, I think.
That was more than enough.
What about Austin Carr?
Oh, that's true.
Another nifty white for New England to go up and down the field with.
Undrafted, and he made some really good catches.
He's been making, like, the Patriots fans are convinced this is, like, the next Wes Welker, and he did, you know, have probably the play of the night, I would say, was his touchdown catch, his skying over the air.
It was amazing,
cool.
Yeah.
But guess what?
Wow, that's cool.
Guess what? It wasn't enough because the Jaguars held on for a 31-24 victory over the Pats. So the Pats fall to 0-1, including dropping a home game, which is significant.
Wes predicted they would fall in the preseason. He was not wrong.
That's true.
That's true. And by the way, it just occurred to me now there will be at least 14 listeners of the show that are going to think that I'm being serious about the scores.
No.
Well, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very serious
you
about
are.
It. New England, a bad start
Completus.
To their season. Finally, Washington and Baltimore. I call it the Battle of the Beltway, but it wasn't much of a battle. The Ravens with a 23-3 win, cruising to a victory. And if you're still on the Kaepernick watch, which seems kind of to be an exhausting task here in the Ravens nest, Ryan Mallett, again, does not look like a competent quarterback on any level. completed half his passes, 9 for 18, 58 yards, about 3 yards per attempt. So I don't know. I honestly don't know what else. When, at one point, the Ravens have to say to themselves, our starting quarterback has a back injury, and those things can crop up at any time, especially when people start getting hit, Mr. Flacco. We got to get somebody else in there.
Yeah, by the way.
It seems like a place Kaepernick should land.
Remember, it was supposed to be 3 to 6 weeks for Flacco?
Right.
Oh, first, from he said it was only like a week.
Right, from the time of the injury, which was mid to early July. We're now in mid to early August, so it's been a solid month, and he has not practiced at all.
One thing in that game, I mean, the Redskins, Kirk Cousins nearly throws a pick right out of the gate to Eric Weddle, gets hammered on a sack later on. This team could not run the ball against Baltimore. Their offensive line got completely controlled by the Ravens from start to finish, 2.2 yards per carry. Rob Kelly got destroyed. None of these guys, the Redskins were so out of sync. And a Washington Post writer noted that their camp has been very luxurious, very kind of easygoing and low-key, and they kind of called him out and said, time to turn it around.
Camp Cupcake. You don't want to get that.
Camp Cupcake.
Hey, numbers don't lie. 23-3.
I mean.
Toughen up.
Small subplot. I know we got to go.
Yeah.
Scott McLuhan has a Twitter account, which I highly recommend.
It's great.
Really?
And
very interactive.
And one of my favorite subplots is he does not miss an opportunity to talk about Matt Jones as a future
over
star.
And over.
Over and over on his
yep.
Twitter account.
Really?
Just get Matt Jones on the field. He's going to be a star.
I asked him a question. He did not respond.
Well,
I've been a big Scott McLuhan
what
guy.
What did you ask?
Don't give up. Keep firing away.
It was Kaiser related, I believe. It was like at 1 in the morning.
So you have a good relationship with Bernie Kosar now. That,
yes,
that
I do.
That was a lot of effort on your part, and he eventually.
Very organic, actually,
yeah.
Dan.
Oh, was it?
Very organic.
It wasn't like tweets every day to Bernie until he.
No, just completely sort of a natural human friendship.
I feel like you guys might be close to actually like grabbing a beer.
Well, roughly 2,000 miles away, but outside of that, yes.
It's a problem. So the rest of the games are coming up on Saturday and Sunday.
Tonight.
Friday, too.
Friday as well. I keep on getting the days mixed up.
A lot of games.
Yeah, three games today. And
you'll note that the Lions. Bring up the rear. They're the last team, the Colts, to start the preseason.
Connect the dots, people. The old Lions taking some naps under the tree in the jungle.
Is that what's happening?
Well, I'm glad they're actually on the week one schedule, put it that way.
Mm.
Are you not aware
really,
of the situation?
You really sniffed this one out. I know. You have an issue with their training camp schedule and how they've started.
Well, they kind of float. They float in
not
whenever they felt like.
Don't isolate me on
okay.
this.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Dan.
Okay. You and Sessler.
Show some
Greg, are you
plays.
Involved in this as well?
No, I pointed out that their preseason finale was Sunday because that should remind Dan they weren't allowed to go to training camp as early as some other teams.
Well, I think Lions fans would get on board with this. How about show some effort? Start winning some games, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. What, one playoff win since 1958?
Oh, check that box. We checked that box.
What's going on?
I don't know. All right, so that's the preseason talk for today. Before we get out of here, yes, it's been teased. It's been promised. Big announcement. Oh, it's a big one. All right, so.
I think Wes already got that honor today, but.
Well, it's not the biggest announcement.
Right.
It's just an announcement.
But it's a pretty big announcement still.
In fact, now that I think about it, maybe Wes, we should have used this music on Wes.
It's okay. Anyway.
What can you do? Sometimes
you didn't know what
roll.
The news was going to
be. I had no idea. All right, here we go. Here's the big announcement. We've been talking about the subreddit, the big 5,000 announcement, and the 5,000th subscriber on the subreddit. We wanted to give him a prize, but then we realized there was no way to tell who the 5,000th subscriber was. Kind of failed there. And then it swelled to over 6,000 now. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a contest.
Oh, yeah.
A contest that everyone on the subreddit could potentially be involved with.
Wow.
Everyone
this is
on
huge.
It. You don't have to be in the first 5,000. You don't have to be the first person or the 6,000th person.
You can be anybody out there.
You can be anybody. And this is how we're going to do it. Each of the heroes... are going to pick 10 names from the subreddit. 10 handles from the subreddit. At random. Or any way you want, really.
You guys can tweet us if you want to be on our team.
Butter
possibly.
Us up a little.
Okay.
Lost my train of thought.
Yeah, you can do a base it completely on chance, just duck in there and grab names. Or you could you know pick people that you like or comments you like. Oh, that person deserves it. This music is more confusing to my brain than actual.
You could send us GIFs, possibly.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I? So each of us will pick 10 usernames, 10 handles, until we have 50. So the four of us here in Wes, of course. Of those 50 that are chosen, we will then take those names, jumble them up, and then have basically a draft order. And the first person, obviously, that's up will then be asked onto the show to do a little Around the NFL podcast / NFL trivia. Four questions. You got to get all four right. And it's a mixture, again, of NFL trivia and of podcast history trivia. The first person, and we'll keep going until we find someone. It could be the first person gets four in a row and they're the winner. Or, hell, it could go to the 48th person, the 50th person. We would have to take it down the drawing potentially. Hopefully not. That would be terrible.
yeah, if we were doing that weekly, I mean,
the contest would never die.
This is already on Greg's radar.
No, it's not. That would take us into the 2018 season, which seems a bit much.
That would be terrible. Yeah. But part of this is we're counting on you, the listeners, to be okay at trivia and things of that nature. But
he's coming up with the questions.
We all worked out. Don't worry.
But we'll
go through it, and then the winner, first person to get four questions right once you get on the air, will get the grand prize. Grand prize, we're still working out what the grand prize is. We're going to try to make it something
cool. Could be sexy, though.
Cool. Could be sexy. Could be highly underwhelming. We're working on the details of that right now. But this is going on. It's not going to start yet.
There are meetings, corpo conversations, phone calls.
It's a big deal.
We're trying. It's genuinely happening.
So how do you get involved? Oh, I'm not on the subreddit. I want to be involved. Well, figure it out, bro. Or lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign up for the subreddit. Oh. Anybody can do it. You could still get in right now. So we'll be doing the drawing at some point in the near future, I would believe. So if you are interested in potentially being on the show and winning the grand prize, subreddit grand prize, then sign up for the subreddit. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll be on the airwaves. There you go.
Can I submit myself?
Cannot.
Okay. I don't know what the prize is.
You would have to renounce your hero rights to do so.
Okay.
It's kind of like in Superman.
Don't want to do that.
Maybe you'd be fine doing that too.
No, I won't.
Do you remember in Superman 2 when Superman renounced his superpowers for love? He made that decision. You could do something similar.
Got punched out in a diner.
It could be coming. Colleen's got a lot of jobs coming up with this 2017 season. Mm. Her star is rising.
She is.
It might be eclipsing this little studio here.
No way.
Might be.
I'm just saying.
Like a new face of NFL Network, basically, to our left.
Stop it.
This might be the last time she's in the studio.
This is my favorite thing I do here.
well, we love to have you here. Kenny Box. All right, so there you go.
Was that Connie Box or Tiny Box?
It was a combo. No, it was Connie Box.
Well, I like Connie.
So there it is.
I like Connie Box.
Connie Box.
It's very versatile, you know.
It's kind of grosser.
Yeah.
Tiny Fox?
Somehow it's worse.
All right. Not everyone else is on board with that.
So by the way, before we go. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
Before we go, yeah. I just want to say that I was really, really close to ordering a clown to the Shield celebration party.
No.
But there were two things that held me back. One, I was about to get on a flight, and I was afraid of going down clown wormholes a little bit, rabbit holes.
Why?
Because it is a little bit creepy, and also.
Oh, it is.
I don't know who's tracking my stuff, and all of a sudden, if they see a bunch of weird clown searches, all of that comes out, that's weird.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I struggled
to follow the logic there a little bit. But go on.
What if the plane crashes?
It's just
and they
general
they,
paranoia.
They check you.
Paranoia and also a little bit of laziness because I was that seems like a lot of work.
Let's just
and I got
say what
Wi-Fi.
It is.
And then two, I was a little worried for the clown's safety if I didn't send a clown to the house.
That's on point. I would say this at the state that we were in by. this clown shows up at 8:30, 9 o'clock or something, they would have been taken down.
Oh,
right,
for sure.
Right.
Colleen is making – I hate clowns. I always have. If at the state I was in by the end of that party, if that clown showed up after 10 p.m., it would have turned into like Jared Leto's face in Fight Club.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, by the time I like snapped out of like my rage.
I know.
Literally, there would be no face left on that clown.
And this poor clown would have came in with balloons and games. Hey,
It would have been cruel to the clown.
Right.
Oh, it would be a happy clown? That wouldn't be like a scary clown?
No, it would be a happy clown.
Well, all clowns are scary, actually.
You are a strange person, and I'm glad that's
not me happen. Or Dan? I'm a strange person. Oh, yeah.
Both. I'm pointing to you on this one.
Yeah. Bit of an odd bird, but we like having you around, Colleen. All right.
Thanks.
You should have done it, though.
I know. Well, next time.
All right. Next time, indeed. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, Tiny Box, The Boss, and Erica and Sully behind the glass. Till Monday.